Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Tyler Aki, and editor of Chicago District Golf Magazine, Barry Cronin.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Welcome on in. It is the final episode of the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Barry Cronin. We've been with you every single Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago if you want to watch the show. Barry, I can't believe this is the finish line for us here. We are on hole 18.
All right. We started in the week before the Masters, and it's been nothing but live golf ever since, unfortunately. It's the only thing going on. There's a real lot of things going on in the world of golf, but that seems to dominate, and it's still dominating, unfortunately. But anyway, this is, in addition to being our last show, it's also the final PGA Tour event of the season. The FedEx Cup is final today, the Tour Championship, and hopefully we get it in.
Yep, they've been dealing with some dicey weather down in Atlanta. We'll break all that down. We'll have Alex Klein-Wadeen. He is the Executive VP of Marketing from Rich Harvest Farms. He'll join us at 8 to talk about the Live Golf event that's going to be taking place out at Rich Harvest Farms in September. And Mike O'Shea, the owner of X-Golf Downers Grove, will join us at 8:35. Get you ready for your golfing off-season and all the great things that they have at X-Golf Downers Grove. So looking forward to that conversation at 8:35. But lots of changes coming down the pipeline for the PGA Tour this week, and in particular, the schedule. And this is going to be one of the really fascinating things, because the PGA Tour now is going to be heavily reliant on this player impact program that is going to pump some more money into these big events and even some of the not as big events as well on the PGA Tour. And it's going to make sure that the stars are playing in more events. A 20 event minimum is going to be coming down as a part of this PIP, player impact program, here with the PGA Tour. What'd you make of the whole week and the expanded schedule and the more money that's been infused into the PGA Tour?
Well, I think first we have to recognize that, A, this really is a radical remaking of the PGA Tour. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And I think that the one thing that maybe LIV Golf has done, in addition to the money and everything, is that what they saw is, look, we have an inconsistent product when we look at the PGA Tour,
yeah,
because these guys can play anywhere, everywhere, whatever. So they went out and signed a bunch of quote-unquote star players, you know, Mickelson and Brooks and Bryson and a few of the others. So they can say to their audience, listen, here's our product. Here are our guys. They are signed to contracts up front. We gave them a bunch of money. And in exchange for that money, they have agreed to play in these events. So they're not really, they like to say they're independent contractors. That's a load of garbage now. They're not independent contractors. They work for LIV, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they have to show up. The fans know that, hey, these guys are going to show up at the tournament that I go to. Whereas now, you know, you didn't know, hey, was Tiger Woods really going to show up? I mean, I remember one year at the Western Open back in the day, Tiger withdrew. He always played the Western because he was very loyal to the Western Golf Association. And one year, you know, he had a bad back or something happened at the U.S. Open. I don't know. And he withdrew. And it was like, oh, well, Tiger's not going to be here. So it's almost like, well, why should we go out there?
Right.
Which is ridiculous. But, there's an inconsistency in the fields on the PGA Tour. And now what Rory McIlroy and the boys decided last Tuesday at the Tour Championship was that we're all going to play. We're all going to play together. Actually, Tuesday at the BMW Championship, we're all going to play. The top 20 players in this PIP are going to play. So that gives some consistency to the field. That's number one. Number two, the PGA Tour then, Monahan went on, and they're going to create 12 elevated events worth $20 million purses. And those will rotate among the events that are currently on the schedule. So that's actually good news for some of the events on the schedules, particularly some could be really good for the quote, smaller events. You know, for example, look at the Pebble Beach tournament, right? It's one of the most beautiful places you can play golf in the world, and yet they don't get the best field. You look at their field, and they maybe have 10 guys in the top 30 or top 50, whatever, and then they've just got a bunch of other guys, right? Just a bunch of average veteran tour pros. Now you could say, hey, that's going to be one of our $20 million events where these 20 guys, the top 20 guys, agree to show up. That would be a good thing. How about Rocket Mortgage in Detroit? That would be great. How about Quad Cities, John Deere? Every 5 years, you could get a field like that in a smaller market. Same thing with Minneapolis, 3M. So even Waste Management, right? Down in Phoenix, a great golf tournament.
Right.
Gazillion people out there. Super Bowl Sunday. What if you could get the top 20 guys in the world playing there on the PGA Tour, playing there? For $20 million on Super Bowl Sunday? Are you kidding? It would just elevate that tournament so much. So it's good. I think it's going to be a good thing. The question is a couple things. One, how will LIV respond to me if I'm,
or does it have to respond?
Well, it will respond. It will say, hey, yeah, okay, the tour is going to bankrupt itself. Maybe by throwing $20 million purses out there for 20 events. 12, sorry. They'll throw $20 million at 12 events. And you know what? Why don't we throw $30 million at it? Because as we've said, they have unlimited funds, and they really have unlimited funds. Now they're going to raise the price of gas again. So, of oil. So they're going to have unlimited money. So they can fight anything the PGA Tour does with more money. So the 20 guys, or the guys that met in Wilmington with Tiger and Rory and the whole gang, they've all said, yeah, we're going to be playing these 20 events. We're going to save the PGA Tour, all of us. Well, did they sign a contract? No. But the LIV guys all signed a contract. So they have to show up, or somebody will show up at their house and tell them, hey, don't forget about playing in Thailand. any of those guys could still be picked off by the LIV Tour. Maybe what this does is just raise the ante a little bit for the LIV Tour gang.
Yeah, and this PIP, Player Impact Program, is something that I'm really fascinated with because there's really nothing like it in other sports right now. So for those unaware of what exactly it is, it's a program that was put into place a little bit ago. I believe it was last year. And it was kind of under the radar, under wraps as well. But it's a $40 million bonus pool that rewards players based on things beyond golf. There is social media following, Google searches, social media activity. So that's why guys like Tiger was the one that quote unquote won this last year. He got the first prize. He got an extra $8 million out of this, even though he played in a limited number of events. So it's essentially a popularity contest among these players. And of course, that's one of the things that's, gets you notoriety is playing well, of course, but there's things beyond that too. Like, would this open the door for like a Max Homa to potentially get into that top 20 or something like that? Because he's got that reach through social media. People love to follow him. People, like, I think a casual golf fan knows who, it's getting to the point now where they know who Max Homa is, not necessarily because of what he does on the golf course, but what he does like with his swing roast on Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the popularity he's garnered that way.
Well, the good thing is Max Homa is a great player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's playing in the FedEx Cup. He's playing in the Tour Championship this week. You're right. He's got a great personality. I don't know that he's... I think guys like you and me know who he is. People are into golf and people are, you know... but he's certainly not... Again, he could walk down State and Lake right here and go into the fantastic museums that we have down here on mm-hmm. State Street. But whatever... and people wouldn't know who he is necessarily. So unlike Tiger, who you would know.
Right.
But here's the thing about the PIP program. In the first year, you remember, it was based on social media, right? You remember the phony fight between Bryson and Brooks?
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to generate more social media by pretending to fight with each other. And now, of course, they're big Liv brothers. But anyway, that's not going to happen anymore. Social media will not be part of the score, of your PIP score, nor will your Q rating. So you know what a Q rating is because you know about you're in broadcasting and advertising. So Q rating is who recognizes you,
right?
Right? You take a poll or whatever in, among the average people, and you know people know who Tiger is and Phil and a few of the other golfers, but Rory... but they don't know who Max Homa is. Like, if you did a Q rating on Max Homa, you know, it'd be like 1%. That's my opinion. So I could be wrong, but I don't... Usually I'm not wrong. You know that. You've been with me since April. So that's not going to be part of it. Playing well will be part of it. They've got some other...
golf fan awareness
factors. Yeah, they've got
media
some,
mentions, broadcast exposure, as well as internet searches.
Exactly, and the thing about it is golf has always been a pure meritocracy, right? Pure. This is not going to be so pure. Now, hopefully, there'll be an alignment between how well somebody plays and their PIP score. So, for example. Let's look at a guy like Sungjae Im, right? Sungjae Im doesn't speak English. He's sort of there all the time on the leaderboard,
mm-hmm.
but like, and he's a great player. I mean, he's fantastic. Look at his short game. I mean, everything. I mean, he's tremendous player. And he plays like all the time, every
yeah.
week. He's an
That's
Iron
right.
Man, right? But you know, I'd be interested to know what's his PIP score, right? Because he's, you know, it isn't like Amanda Baleonis Renner can interview him on the side of the green without an interpreter, you know, after he wins a tournament. It's just not the same. It's not the same vibe, even though he's a great player. So, you know, would he be left out potentially? A guy like him, I'm not saying everybody, but, you know, and it may be a guy who speaks English, who's just real quiet, under the radar kind of guy. And it might take him a while to get that kind of notoriety. Now, Sungjae Im's on TV, which is good because right. he's usually in contention. So it'll be really interesting. And one of the things that Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, was asked during his press conference was, how much transparency will there be for the PIP program? And I think that's important. I don't think they know, you know. I think a lot of this is kind of, you know, in the last few months they've been cooking this up. And I don't think the details are all there, but... It'd be interesting to know this.
Yeah, and how do you quantify some of this stuff, too?
Right,
that's the tough part. Like, it doesn't seem like, based on the components that we've been given that are a part of this quote-unquote formula, I don't know if there's necessarily a formulaic way to do it. Like, how do you quantify broadcast exposure, golf fan awareness, general awareness?
Well, you can, though. You can. And you know this. You're in broadcasting. So if you go to an ad agency... They can tell you, right? They've got everything quantified. They're more quantified than ShotLink on the PGA Tour, the ad agencies and stuff. They can tell you your exposure and everything. But look at, how about a guy, and this is the primo example that everybody gave right away. What about a guy like Ricky Fowler? One of the most well-liked,
mm-hmm.
famous PGA Tour players who, when he came out as a rookie in his first 5 or 6 years on tour, I mean, he was, remember that one year, I can't remember the exact year, he finished second in all four majors. You know, he's cool. He's out there with the hat, you know, the
yep.
flat brim hat.
I almost
dressed in orange with a flat brim cap. That's how much you like the guy. But anyway, but he's a super guy. And yet his game has fallen off so much, you know, that in the last few years, that it's kind of like, you know, he went to change his swing, and it's a nightmare. Now he can't putt because he's so worried about, the, you know. So, however, he could be in the top 20 pip, because the truth is everybody recognizes him. You know, he's still,
he's in commercials,
well, right,
all that stuff.
He's in commercials because he's so, you know, he's such a, he's really good on camera. He's a good-looking young guy. And so, but are you going to put him in the top 20 in the world in the PIP and let him play in those events? You know, so that's going to be, listen, guys like you and I are talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you there's in grill rooms across the country, everybody's going to say, hey, but, you know, should Ricky really be in the top 20 in the PIP? Should he be playing in these $20 million events? So that's going to be interesting.
It's going to open up too, because I mean, you look at, so they have the top 10 from last year, five of the top 10 have defected for LIV Golf. And one of those guys, it's a very similar situation to Ricky, but it's Bubba Watson, a guy who, well, I guess it's a little different because Bubba's got the majors behind his name too, but it's a guy whose popularity probably outperforms what his actual,
yeah,
golf performance has been, right, as of late.
Right. 100%. And, you know, I mean, the difference is Bubba, I think, is in his early 40s, and he's probably, he's probably not going to, I don't know, he must think he can't play anymore. And I think he's been hurt some, and I don't know. I think they just got to take the money, some of them, and go, which is really unfortunate, but whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many generations of wealth do you have to have? That's my question for all these guys. But Bubba's that kind of guy, and there are obviously going to be a few other guys that come in. But I think that the PIP program will be really scrutinized by golf media, and you know, talk shows like ours, the podcast, you know, universe, which is huge in golf. I think that the players in Monahan, well, they have to be sensitive to that too. I think they want to keep it as much of a meritocracy as they can. So here's what happened. One of the players I know, not a top player, tweeted, this is LIV 2.0. In other words, this is basically the PGA Tour took the LIV model and copied it. Right? So on its face, that's what it looks like. Right? Because you say, oh, wow, you know, bunch of tournaments, $20 million, same as LIV, top guys,
mm-hmm,
right? But that's not quite true, because if you're in the top 20, you can still qualify to be in the top 20, right? You can still, you know, you're playing the Korn Ferry Tour, you can work your way onto the PGA Tour, you're on a lower level guy. Let's look at a guy like Cameron Young. He was on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just, and he blew everybody away up at the Glen Club. I mean, I don't know. He won by a bunch of shots. He was unbelievable. Now he's on the PGA Tour. He's finishing second at the British Open. I mean, he makes eagle on 18 at the British Open. And he beat Rory McIlroy, which is pretty incredible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he was involved at the PGA and everything. He's just a great young player. So he came out of nowhere. I don't know where he'd be. I'm not sure what his world ranking is. We could look it up. But I mean, the guy is a star. So here's a guy who could be at some point in the top 20 because, A, he's on TV a lot, and, B, he's just playing great. So they're going to have to, you can earn your way in to these top events the same way you earn your way into the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yep. All right, when we come back, Jay Monahan spoke about the new schedule, so we will hear from him. And also, does John Rahm have a problem with it as well? We'll hear from him when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Barry Cronin. We're brought to you by Glenview Park Golf Club. We've been talking about this new PGA Tour schedule that's set to take place for next year, and it's going to have more money. It is going to have more stars and more events. And overall, it should be a good thing for the PGA Tour. We're looking forward to see how all that shakes out. If you've got a thought on it, 312-332-3776. Is more stars and more events going to draw you into this, or did you kind of like the scattered format where you never really knew who was going to play when and where and all that stuff, aside from the majors? 312-332-3776. So Jay Monahan, commissioner of the PGA, he discussed everything that's going on with this new schedule, what's happening with the PGA Tour, the new money that's being pumped into these events that are guided by the Player Impact Program. Here is what Jay Monahan had to say about the PGA Tour's new schedule.
Four more elevated events.
Yes.
And we don't know what those events are, but now we've got a lot of elevated events. What went into that decision?
You know, I think there certainly will be some palace intrigue over the four events that we're going to be adding. But I would take you back to, you know, to this summer and Travelers Championship, and we announced essentially nine elevated events for the 2022-23 season. When you take the Century Tournament Champions, the WGC Dell Match Play, the three player-hosted invitations, the three FedEx Cup playoff events and players. And so, you know, as we look to next season, and as I mentioned in there, talking to our players, including our top players, getting our top players together more often and doing so in a way that benefits our fans, the great listeners of SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, knowing at the beginning of the year that you're going to have 20 occasions in total where the best players in the world are going to be competing. That's a great benefit for the players. It's also a great benefit for fans.
So that was Jay Monahan on PGA Tour Radio with Brian Katrick earlier this week. And I think that's one of the things. He's looking for more eyeballs on more stars, and that's hopefully the goal of this Player Impact Program and this expanded, or I shouldn't say really expanded, but a expanded schedule for players in particular for this upcoming PGA Tour season.
Right. They're trying to get the best players in the world to play more together against one another because, you know, and they've been trying to do this with these World Golf Championship events that they've had for since, you know, the mid-90s. And I guess that's been somewhat successful, but so we'll see. You know, it'll be interesting. I do think it could work. I mean, if you like we were just talking about, if you could get these players to show up at Pebble Beach every year or every few years, you know, even if they could just rotate the tournaments around these $20 million right. events, put them in these different markets, and you know, and it would just help these smaller. You know, these not I say smaller, but really Pebble Beach is not small.
Right.
Quad Cities is small. You know, Minneapolis small? I guess sort of. Detroit got a lot smaller. but you know, those are events that could use the $20 million boost, say, every 5 years. I mean, and then the sponsor would have to, let's say you're Rocket Mortgage or John Deere or 3M in those markets or Waste Management. So every 5 years, you'd have to say, all right, well, we're going to go from a $7 to $8 million purse to $20 million. So over the course of the 5 years, you know, you have to come up with a few more million. So it's a $20 million purse. The tour pays about half the purse, right? They pay about 50%. They use the money that they get from their TV rights, broadcasting rights, and they pay that half the purse. And then the corporate sponsor has to come up with the other half. And so every 5 years, it's probably a doable thing. And it would be great. I mean, for the fans in those markets, it'd be terrific.
Right. Because you would think, I mean, for you and I, like the course itself, you would think would be more of a draw. You bring up the example of Pebble Beach, and why can't they get the loaded fields that some of these other tournaments can get from time to time? But in reality, we know for these players, it's the purse, and that's what they're going to need to continue to do if they want to keep drawing in these big names and these guys that are in the top 20 of this PIP program.
And guess what? The Pebble Beach event, AT&T Pebble Beach, was against a Saudi event. Saudi golf event that I think Mickelson played in and Bubba played in. Some of the other guys went there. Big purse, big appearance fee. They went to the tour. They got out of it. You know what I mean? For international, it was not an in-country competitor, so they were able to go. They gave him a release. I think Pebble Beach would be a great place. And, you know, they played in March or whatever, February. So, you know, is the weather in Pebble Beach great in March all the time? No, it rains a lot. It's kind of cold, whatever. But still, you should be able to get a good feel for Pebble Beach.
Yep, absolutely. All right, when we come back, Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm spoke about the new schedule and the elevated events program. We will hear what they had to say, and also another stipulation that's being thrown out there that is certainly going to help, especially some of the newer golfers on the PGA Tour. We will talk about that when we come back. If you've got a thought as well, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
This segment is sponsored by Geneva National Experience, 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. This is, though, the last edition of the CDGA Golf Show for the season. And we thank you all for listening with us all pretty much since the Masters, the week leading into the Masters, way back in April, the first week of April. So we appreciate all of you that have tuned in over the course of the golf season. If you want to chime on in, 312-332-3776. Should have a solid day out. It might have a little bit of rain later on, so I'm sure plenty of people trying to squeeze in those morning rounds as well. We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. So we've been talking about this new PGA Tour schedule that's set to take place for next year. And a lot of things have been said about it, both by the players, we just heard from Jay Monahan as well, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. But some people maybe aren't as happy with it as others. Let's start with Jon Rahm here. This was during the Tour Championship press conference that he held the other day, and talking about this new schedule that's set to impact players like him.
John, the 20 elite events next year, is that asking a little bit more of the European players, considering you have to play four?
The what, sorry?
The 20 elite events next year.
20 elite?
Well, the elevated events, the new schedule.
20?
Well, the 12 and the four majors, the players.
Majors and players and playoffs, I really can't do that. I mean,
is that asking a little bit more of the European guys, considering you have to play four for the Ryder Cup?
Well, we have to play all of them.
Play all of the 20.
If we have to play all those 20, then yeah, 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if that changes.
Yeah.
Because that puts me in a difficult position having to play. If I go play in Europe in the fall like I'm going to, I have to play from January till August 20 times. I think this is my 17th from January, and I don't think I could add any more. Especially with Ryder Cup and having to play four in Europe, yeah, I think it's a bit of an ask. And I wouldn't be surprised if they revise a bit of a rule or make an exception for some players.
Yeah.
But if they do it for players like me and Rory, they might have to do it for everybody. So.
Yeah, thank you.
You know something we don't?
In what sense?
In terms of changing policy.
Me? No. You're asking the wrong guy. If you want to know about that stuff, you know who of the two players you have to ask.
I don't know how to follow that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we know who those two players are, Rory and Tiger, kind of the captains of this ship here. But Jon Rahm doesn't seem all too pleased, or at least not fully bought into this new schedule, especially for someone like him who's going to have to play a few extra events.
Well, as we said in our first segment, you have the LIV players have all signed contracts.
Mm-hmm.
They're all committed to play in those events. They have to play. These guys had a meeting in Wilmington where they all, rah-rah, were all going to play. And now, did they sign a contract? No. Now you see, you know, leaks in the little boat, right? Rahm, and he won't be the only one. So it's a tough, it's really tough. You know, you know, these guys are on the PGA Tour. They want to be independent contractors, kind of. You know, and so it's just, it's difficult. It's difficult. I mean, and he won't be the only one.
Right.
So, and meanwhile, the European Tour, unfortunately, they are going to be crushed by this. Because of the extra events that, that the European guys have to play. So anyway, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's an unenforceable agreement, right? They all agree in spirit.
Right. But then all it sounds good because you see those big dollar figures.
Well, you see the big dollar figures and you're all in the same room and, hey, we're all on the same team and let's save the PGA Tour and we believe in legacy and we believe in meritocracy and so we're going to... But they kind of want to have it both ways, right? They want to have a bunch of $20 million events, many of which, a number of which will be no-cut events, which I think people have a problem with. I sort of have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. You know, a BMW championship we have in Chicago sometimes, 70 players. It's a no-cut event. They put twosomes off both tees. It's over and, you know, pretty quickly. And there's a little bit something missing when you don't have a cut is all I would say. That you know, this week, Rahm, you know, he made the cut because he, you know, there's a talk that he would have missed the cut. Maybe it was at the BMW last week, but anyway, and then he played well since then. So in any case, it's the problem is that the agreement that they came to as a group last Tuesday Tuesday before last in Wilmington is unenforceable because nobody signed a contract.
Right.
And maybe that's what Monahan has to do next is bring him a piece of paper and make them sign.
Yeah, or at least the players that you are going to be crowning as these Player Impact Program ambassadors, representatives, whatever you want to call them, as a result of it. There's going to need to be some sort of legislation with it. Now, here's the other side of it. This is Rory McIlroy and what he had to say about the new Elevated Events Program and Player Impact Program.
Anyone has a chance to play their way into these elevated events. Anyone has a chance to feature in the Player Impact Program. That's the thing. Like, the reason that we're trying to do this is we're trying to build a tour for the future young, ambitious players that want to be the best players in the game. If you want to be the best player in the game, the PGA Tour is where you want to be, because it is a pure meritocracy. There's nothing stopping guys from playing in these elevated events. There's nothing from stopping guys getting in the PIP. You just play better. You work your ass off, you play better, and if you do that, you will get into these events. And that's as simple as it is. Everyone has the same opportunity. Everyone starts the week at even par, apart from this week. But everyone has the same opportunity at the start of every week to make something of themselves and to compete. And that's the beautiful thing about this tour.
Do you buy that every single player has the opportunity to be in the PIP?
Well, eventually they would. I mean, it's going to take them a while, maybe. Mm-hmm. But a guy like a Cameron Young, I don't know where he would be on the PIP. But, I mean, he's going to be Rookie of the Year. Sahith Theegala. Another guy who's in contention for Rookie of the Year. I mean, I mean, they're two different type personalities, right? Sahith Theegala is like, wow, what a personality, what a guy, right? Mm-hmm. A really excellent player, who's got just an effervescent type of personality. Cameron Young's like, you know, he's like Paul Bunyan. My God, he just crushes the ball, and he just walks around with that beard, and he's like...
And the casual golfer wonders why he's got an MLB logo on
him. Exactly. He's promoting... who knows? Yeah, MLB, which is great. I don't know what his favorite team is. I can't remember exactly where is he from. Like, he's like the East Coast guy, like Connecticut or something. His dad was a golf pro. Anyway, is a golf pro. But yeah, you listen. It's a heck of a lot more of a meritocracy than it is on the LIV Tour. And I mean, I think the whole point of all this, right, of all these big $20 million events, is to stop the guys at the top from defecting to live, and it's also to stop the younger guys. Live is going to try to start to make a play for these young guys coming out of college.
Right. They already have.
The top amateurs. They've made some, and I don't know that they've gotten anybody any good, but like a Pearson Cootie, right, from Texas, and he's played great, you know, he's just a great amateur player. And there's other guys that you know, U.S. amateur winners, that Sam Bennett, who won the U.S. Am the other day, last week. He's going back to college, but he would be a guy who would be a prime target. So the tour is trying to – they're going to raise the purses on the Korn Ferry Tour. That's number one. The other thing for younger players on the – and for even veterans on the PGA Tour – they're going to do an earnings assurance program, which means they're going to give the guys, if they want, we'll write them a $500,000 check at the beginning of the season. And that will just, it's just like an advance to a sales guy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so you're going to earn against that, right? So you're going to have that money. You can buy your plane tickets, make your hotel reservations, pay your coach, find your physio. They all travel with these trainers, et cetera. At least you'll have a base of money to work with,
right,
when you come out as a rookie and even as a veteran player. And it won't cost the PGA Tour that much at the end of the season. They were asked, what's this going to wind up costing the tour? Most guys exceed $500,000. So that won't be – and then and the Monahan said that, look, if you don't make – $500,000, we're not going to demand that you give the money back or any of that. You just keep the $500,000. So if you make $400,000, you're going to make an extra $100,000.
Right.
So that'll be good. And then the other thing that I think came in, and this really applies to our local guy, Highwood's own, Highland Park High School's own, Patrick Flavin, right? So there's going to be a travel stipend program for non-members. So for example, a guy like Patrick who went around and tried to qualify for all these PGA Tour events, right? Because he didn't have any status on Korn Ferry. He didn't get on Korn Ferry last year. He missed by two strokes. So he got into five or six PGA Tour events by Monday qualifying. So let's think about that for a second. You got to pay your plane fare. Mm-hmm. You've got to pay your registration fee to get into the tournament, which is maybe, I don't know, $500, $1,000, whatever it is. You get your hotel room, et cetera, and then let's say you successfully Monday qualify. So you've paid all that money up front to do that. Then you've got to get your hotel room for the week. You got to pay your caddy. So that's a lot of money. And then, and in Patrick's case, this happened a few times, you miss the cut.
Yep.
Now you're out all that. All that advance money, and you walk away with zero. Well, now if you do something like that, you're going to get $5,000 from the tour to pay your expenses, and you know that's a good thing. That's really a good thing. And the major championships have been doing that now for the guys that missed the cut for the last few years, and the tour is going to adopt that policy, which is good.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. All right, this segment has been brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. When we come back, we will whip around what's going on the local golf scene. That's coming up next on the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Aki.
We'll be right back.
This segment is brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. We will talk with Alex Klein-Wadeen coming up at 8 o'clock. He's the Executive Vice President of Marketing at Rich Harvest Farms, which, of course, is hosting the Live Golf event coming up in a couple weeks. So we will ask him about everything that's going on in preparation of that coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, Mike O'Shea, the owner of X Golf Downers Grove, that's coming up at 8:35 right here on the CDGA Golf Show. Barry, what do we have going on right now in the local golf scene? Because you came in with a notebook full of stuff about what's going on locally. Stuff.
You know, we're all locals here. You know, I don't know, Tyler, if you can, anybody who considers himself or herself a great putter might be interested in the Deer Path Golf Course Putting Challenge. Deer Path is up in Lake Forest on September 10th. The top two people will go to the inaugural Pop Stroke National Putting Championship in Sarasota. Pop Stroke is the putting. You know, it's like the Top Golf of putting. Mm-hmm. And Tiger Woods is one of the owners, I believe. So this is going to occur. This competition, though, will be really cool because this year Deer Path opened this 30,000 square foot putting and chipping green called the Lawn, and it's based on the St. Andrews Ladies Putting Course, which is adjacent to it's St. Andrews. And it's called the Himalayas, right? A lot of mounding on right. the golf course. So anyway, they opened that this summer. So very cool. And so if you like to putt, you go to deerpathgolf.com and you can register. It's $10 and you can register as many times as you want. So maybe you don't hit your putts very well the first time. You can do it a second time. So that'll be cool. The other thing, a couple of other things. So far, congratulations to Jamie Fisher. She's the director of instruction at Conway Farms Golf Course, which, of course, has hosted the BMW Championship a number of times. She's playing this weekend at the U.S. Senior Women's Open at the course she grew up on, NCR Country Club in Dayton. So she's T17, and she's making it happen. She's got to catch up to Laura Davies, who's leading the tournament now, Annika Sorensen, a couple of the other big-time names. And, of course, there's another lady out there. Her name is Joanne Carner. She's not from Chicago or anything, but she's 83 years old. She shot her age, which, years from now, Tyler, if you can do that, that would be an awesome thing. The other thing I should mention is that Nick Hardy of Northbrook is now tied for second at the second Korn Ferry Tour Finals event in Columbus, Ohio. He's playing at the Scarlet Course at Ohio State. So Nick, as we know, he didn't make the top 125 to get into the FedEx Cup this year in his rookie year, but he was 130, so he's playing in this event, these Korn Ferry Finals events, to improve his PGA Tour status. And also our buddy Patrick Flavin, who we mentioned a little bit earlier, he missed the cut this week, so he will try to make it happen next week. So anyway, and then I was going to mention that the Winnetka Golf Course, which is really a fine little course, is going to
play there the other day, didn't you?
Yeah. It's going to close November 1st. They're going to have a major renovation. Rick Jacobson, great golf course architect who's worked up there before, is going to address some of the, they've got these flooding issues. They got to do some things on the bunkers. And so that's going to be happening, and that'll reopen in, I guess, about August of 2024, possibly earlier. It depends how grow-in things go. So anyway, those are just a few of the notes that I had. And also, speaking of playoffs, I got energized the other day about these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Why in the name of God are we continuing to play the final event the Tour Championship at East Lake.
You know what? Save that thought.
All right.
Because I've got some things from the Tour Championship as well that I want to hit
all
on.
Right,
so we'll
right.
do that after we talk to Alex Klein-Woodine.
All right, good.
He's coming up in 2 minutes.
All right, because I'm agitated.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell.
I'm always
the
agitated.
The steam's coming out of your
ears
right now.
I'm always agitated.
All right, so we will talk to Alex coming up, the Executive Vice President of Marketing from Rich Harvest Farms. They're hosting the Live Golf event in Chicagoland, in the Chicagoland area, coming up later on in September. This segment is brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. The CDGA Golf Show will be back in 2 minutes.